Thank you, Tim. Right, thank you very much. Item 2 on the agenda, council minutes of the meeting on the 7th of November. Is everybody in agreement these should be signed as a correct record, please?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now, items arising from those minutes, we'll take a page at a time. Page 106, 107, 108, 109, and finally, 110. Right, thank you very much. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Urgent business. I have no items of urgent business to be dealt with. To resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part 2, we have none. And questions understanding order 10, we have none. So item 8, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk, town manager as appropriate. The planning committee. Lynn, please.
Yes. I've closed the minutes of the meetings held on the 31st of October 2016 and the 14th of November 2016. Are there any recommendations therein? Which there are none. And ask those to be accepted.
Thank you. All in favour? The town clerk's report, that's attached to these minutes. It's just a question of noting that report, please. The Excess Tree Management Partnership Officer Working Group, minutes of the meeting held on Friday, the 2nd of February, September, sorry, 2016. To note those minutes.
Noted.
Local Action Group, notes from the meeting held on Wednesday, the 9th of November. There's quite a number of pages on that one. Noted. The NPSG, this is the Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group. They've been busy. Notes of the meeting held on the 16th of November. Noted. The next one is the Devon Association of Local Councils, Larger Council Subcommittee. Minutes of the meeting held on the 10th of November. To note. Then we come to the Community Organisation Liaison Panel. Notes of the meeting on Wednesday, the 23rd of November.
Noted.
For noting. The Waterfront Working Part, no, sorry, the Flooding and Land Drainage meeting. A verbal update from the meeting held on the December the 5th. Not the 12th. Pat is. Sorry, I'll slow you down a bit, Pat.
Right. Okay. This was mostly taken up with looking at the notes from the previous meeting, in actual fact, because a lot of the things that were on the agenda we couldn't deal with because we only had one member of the public and one officer there. So it was just a matter of the town councillors who were there actually looking at various things. We're looking at the very heavy rain that we've had, and there's a list of places here where the road gets flooded, and we were asked to look for any other places and give any reason why these particular places were flooding. And it seemed to be mainly a matter of leaves in the drains, nothing clearing them, so the drains filled up, and we got a little bit of flooding. It wasn't too bad as far as I know. The bottom of St Andrews Road, where it goes into an Imperial Road, they had the usual flooding there when we got to high tide. There was some on the parade, which was something to do with some works that had been undertaken on the pedestrian crossing, and they seemed to have upset the drainage somewhat, but we learned to live with these things. Moorfield Road had a drain blocking, big block of leaves there as well. So the flooding that we did have seemed to be fairly innocuous and not a thing to worry about at this time. But of course, as Jeff says, we are in a difficult position. If we do get floods, we could have 1,500 houses under water. And if it comes through the back, as the Environment Agency said it's going to come in, we could find ourselves in trouble. Anyway, at this point, I've got some notes on the resilience event that Rob went to. It was led by the Assistant Chief Constable, from what I can see. And it was to do with finding someone to be a flood or snow or rain or warden for your particular area. You remember we've been talking about this before. It's been decided that we should perhaps get ourselves a household or an emergency resilience plan. I just looked at the notes that Rob put together, and all these things that are on these close, tight sheets of paper are things that we have to do if we're going to have a resilience plan. It says that in the event of the emergency, the community will be the first on the scene, and the community must be resilient. And of course, they'll be responsible for the recovery phase when the blue light services disappear. Resilience is everybody's responsibility. The community must know where all the keys are so they can get in and help people. Community rest centres must be organised, and so it goes on. It's really a matter of everybody being a good neighbour. And I suppose we'll have eventually to write a resilience plan. I don't know who's actually going to do it, but we need to do something to make sure that the people know what to do if they have a really bad flood. There are some really good ideas in there, like putting your insurance policies in a safe place and you've got your checkbox and everything with you, but it's a lot of work to be done before that happens. And I think we've got a leaflet that we did last year about flooding that we could perhaps distribute to people or leave for people to look at.
Buddy, sorry.
I was just going to say that I wondered whether we should put something in the journal to say, is there anyone out there that wants to become a warden or a flood warden or whatever it might be? Because it seems to me that we've got to rely on the community to actually do it. We can't all do it all ourselves. So maybe there's a chance that somebody might want to help out. There might be somebody out there who knows a lot about these sort of things anyway, be willing to do it. And the only other thing was Edward
Wilkinson,
thank you, had seen some problems with the water in Winnipeg, whereby a shopping trolley had got stuck under a culvert and it's holding back all the water and there's going to be a big flood there eventually. And he wants us to invite someone from the Environment Agency to go with them and have a look at this culvert so that they can see what the problem is. And that's just about it, thank you.
All right, thanks. Maddie.
Thank you. Pauline and I were on a committee to look into this, weren't we? And it was started from the paperwork, as we understood it, was with an officer at East Devon at one point, and we asked them to send it over, and we were going to look at it, and we were going to liaise with Buckley Salterton on their plan as well, if you remember, to get all the phone numbers and contacts, because it's the phone numbers and contacts which we were told were important. But this officer was taken ill and never came back to us, did she?
No, we did get that back.
Did you get some
back? Yeah, we got all that back, but that was part of the County Council Blue Light Services Resilient Plan, which is still in place.
Yeah.
The gentleman that was coordinating that with Pam Harvey from East Devon, who was a job share with Somerset Council as well, he's been to a couple of flooding and land drainage working party meetings,
right,
because there were some inaccuracies in that report. And we've been working with him, Flooding and Land Drainage Working Party was working with him to update some of the inaccuracies so that they update their master plan at county level. What Pat and Rob are talking about is a
community level
resilience plan, which sits under the Blue Light Services Emergency Plan. So we've got one you're referring to, we've got that, we've got the updated version of it.
We started it, didn't we?
Well, we were looking at
quarantines,
and quarantines is a good example, because they've got flooding the other week. So we thought it would be a good idea to go back to them and find out how they coped. Because if they didn't cope well, it's no good going for their resilience plan. And we've been to Stuart Hughes and I've given him Edward Wilkinson's emails about the flood, so Stuart's going to see what we can do. So he's got
Right, thank you very much.
Chair, please. Do East Devon District Council not have an emergency plan?
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yeah,
do.
And it's the same. It's a district and county wide emergency plan. Pam Harvey, the officer.
So the district is the same as the county plan.
So yes, so that's similar.
We need to coordinate it all together.
Now, what I'm asking, has district council got an emergency plan?
It's a joint plan with the county, and it defines what the district council has responsibility for, what the county council has responsibility for, and what the blue light services have responsibility for, and it's in one plan. And the officer that Maddie's talking about, the reason she contributed to it was because she was the district council officer, and then we've subsequently picked it up through the county council officer.
In that plan, then, is there a specified instruction on what local parishes?
No.
That's what we need to put in. They've got the top layer of.
It identifies buildings in the town where public could assemble in the event of an emergency. It doesn't identify who's going to rock up and dish out the tea and the coffee and give out the blankets and make sure that people are then got somewhere to stay for the night and all that sort of community-based help your neighbour activities. And that's the bit that we're being encouraged to put in place, is a plan that deals with what happens when the emergency services leave the scene, the district council leaves the scene, what practical help are you going to give to the people who then can't go back into their homes? And that's what we're being urged to work on as a community resilience plan.
Steve.
Tim?
Yeah, can I ask through you and Paul whether she actually got any information from your officer?
I can contact them.
Well, that's right. That was the point, wasn't it? The point we made at the meeting was that Brompton had this flood.
Mm.
We had been encouraged to share with them the resilience plan.
That's right.
Pauline's idea was to ask Brompton
how
if
it
their
worked.
Resilience plan worked or not.
Yeah.
Therefore, should we draw from it
or amend?
Yeah, or amend. Exactly.
Steve?
Just got in Rob's notes. Have actually got a note that says St Thomas in Exeter have got an emergency group already. So there's an urban situation.
Bill. Bill, please.
Yes, one of the things we did say at that plug-in member of his working party was, as already mentioned, that we should write a letter and make our part do it to be published in the Excellence Journal, but at the same time say the names and telephone numbers of those councillors here that are holding the sandbags and filled earth, and also to say the leaflets are available from the town hall on what to do to prevent any flooding by using the sandbags. So if that could be done, it would be some essence to the article, at the same time asking if other people to come on board and help.
Rob.
Churches together.
So we can build a register of volunteers. They will have training, regular exercises to keep it up to date. And then this it just has to be kept up to date and regularly revisited to make sure it's because those people in the individual streets will have, they will know who are the vulnerable people in their streets. Mm. They will know where the keys are kept to the
right, thank you. Brian.
Regarding Lidcombe Brook, Richard Scott and I, with the very able assistance of Hugo Squire, some time ago got the EA to have a look at Lidcombe Brook, and they're still in the process, as far as I'm aware, I haven't spoken to them recently, of establishing who are the riparian owners so that they can do essential maintenance work in the very near future. So it's ongoing and it's being looked at as we speak.
And didn't Richard go in the brook up to
Richard
his...
Richard waved up through in his £42.50 trainers. She's sending you the bill.
Well, thank you. Right. The Waterfront Working Party. We had a meeting this morning, Waterfront Working Party, and we got a verbal update from that meeting.
So the Waterfront Working Party met this morning. It was the first meeting since our summer walk along the seafront, when we walked from Orpen Point to Ocean and identified various aspects of the public realm which needed attention. Officer from East End District Council Street Scene Team was with us this morning, so we received an update on a list of public realm issues that we'd highlighted. Of particular note, we talked about the festoon lights and the fact that the Task and Finish Forum will be reconvening to look at what we do with the festoon lights. The fact that the clock tower refurbishment works are now virtually complete. And we talked about public toilets, as we always do, and an aspiration to get more community toilet schemes up and running. We're waiting for an update on that. At the next meeting. Other than that, we were talking about finger posts, signage maps, beach rubble, seaweed, railings that need painting, state of lampposts, camper van discharge, the state of the RNLI slipway, and dogs on beaches. So we covered quite a lot. And there were some improvements to report from when we met in the summer. We'll meet again in the new year. And in the new year, we're hoping to walk from... the estuary side, Lorry Park. We're hoping to invite a member of the Environment Agency to that meeting to brief the Waterfront Working Party on the proposed improvements to the tidal defence scheme, with the hope that by February, March time, we'll have a clear indication of whether the funding has been released for that scheme.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No. Right. Now come to item 9, presentation of Exmouth Town Council shields. Alison Greenhosh died suddenly on 15th of May 2016. Alison was a councillor representing Littleham Ward on Exmouth Town Council. She was very involved in the community, particularly in the development of young people, art and music, particularly the Seekers music. She's also left us a legacy with the Dinosaur Trail, which has proved to be a great attraction for not only young people, but even those who are a bit older, as they follow the trail of the dinosaurs through the town. And so on behalf of Exmouth Town Council, I would like to make presentation of this commemorative shield to mark Alison's contribution to the town of Exmouth. And Ian's come along to accept this from us. I'll come over, Ian. Don't worry, Ian. And secondly, Councillor David Chapman died on the 26th of June 2016, following a period of illness. David was an Exmouth Town Councillor and East Devon District Councillor. He had many years of experience and took a great interest in all aspects of council work, representing the people of Brixington Ward. He formed and became chairman of the Brixington Improvement Group, known as BIG, and was also chairman of finance on Exmouth Town Council. David had a passion for sport, particularly rugby, and was elected champion of sport on East Devon District Council shortly before his death. He was instrumental in getting the Rugby World Cup to Exmouth to be viewed by the public and local schools on the 8th of July 2015. I was fortunate enough to be deputy mayor that year, and so was included in the celebrations at Exmouth Pavilion and had my photo taken with the cup. It therefore gives me immense pleasure to present Maddie with this commemorative.
Tom, actually.
Yeah. Right. Tom. Tom, you don't look like Hannah. Well done, Tom. Item 10, to respond to Devon County Council's Community Composting and Recycling Centre's consultation. The two subjects are proposed minor modifications to the charitable waste scheme, vehicle restriction and non-acceptable waste policies at Devon County Council's household waste recycling centres, and proposed change to the Community Composting Recycling Credit Rate. We have papers on this.
Can I make a suggestion that councillors email me with any comments or thoughts? Because it's a fairly straightforward consultation. They're asking you to agree or disagree with the proposals to reduce the community composting credit. And they're asking you to agree to the amended charging scheme for construction and demolition materials, and whether you think Devon County should extend the vehicle restrictions and exclude heating tanks. So they're fairly straightforward questions and answers. And if you can just email me, perhaps, your answers to those questions, then I'll collate them and submit them, rather than taking up time now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Tim just wants to
work.
Yep. Yeah, I had a look at the consultations, and in fact, I did individually. Recycling centre. The other one, I was just going to ask the question whether anybody has heard what the attitude among community composters was to the other issue.
Haven't heard anything.
I've not heard, no. This is the utter rotter, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is.
And yeah,
it is.
They came and spoke to us. Right. Thank you very much, then. If you could email Lisa with your comments on that. To review the trial committee structure and ratify meeting dates for 2017, Those proposed dates are on the end of your papers this evening.
Yeah.
Darrell?
At the last meeting, we had a discussion about going back to the groups, etc., and looking at potential for planning and what the aspiration of the council was and how we would resource that. I know we've started here doing that, and the plan was to meet informally, I think, in January for those who partaken in that. It would seem to me more sensible to, you know, if changes emerge from the committee structure or the resourcing or something different happened, to actually then just postpone this.
Just extend the experiment for a bit longer.
Indeed, until we conclude, you know, what the full plan might be. That I'll propose.
All in favour? Right, thank you very much. Item 12, budgetary control and authority to spend. Could we take all these items together, please? We're seeking authority for the payments there, noted. Could I have a proposer, please?
I'm happy to propose them on block.
Thank you very much. Seconder, Brian, thank you very much. All in favour?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. To ratify the item 13, we've decided to postpone. We won't be taking that item tonight because there is a bit more information that we need to gather before we put this item for proposal and seconding. So we'll postpone that item. It will have to be done at the January meeting, won't it?
We need to authorise the print run in January. That's when the town guide will go to print. But I've got a meeting on Thursday with Devon Cliffs, and I just want to. I need to do a bit of investigative work really to make sure that if we are going to pay for the extra copies, that they are going to be distributed. So I've said I'll come back to the next meeting with that information.
We need to ratify the appointment of David Hinchcliffe as internal auditor for 2016-17. Do we have a proposer, please?
Mm-hmm.
Steve, second. Pat, Pauline, sorry. Thank you very much. All in favour? Right. Date of our next meeting is the 16th of January, 2016.
17,
I think. Yes. We have got a list here on the back.
Yeah, it isn't on there. Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
There's no future dates
in
the computer one.
We left that in case we made a decision on the structure of committees tonight, which would have altered it. So, as we're going to extend the period for a bit longer,
we'll circulate the proposed dates,
yeah. So could I all remind you all of Steve's efforts on Christmas Day and his need for sponsorship, and now invite you to join me for some light refreshments to celebrate the Christmas period.
Could I just say something about this?
Oh yes, by all means.
I picked this up as I came out of the house tonight, and it's just some articles here about who's managing the excestry. You will know about the excestry management partnership scheme because you get the notes about that one. We've now also got a habitat regulations delivery manager who is part of the South East Devon Habitat Regulations Partnership, and he has two people working for him. We've also got Exeter City working for us as well. And the idea, I think the habitat people are trying to stop people despoiling the edges of the river. And they're trying to persuade people not to run dogs up and down the river as well, so that they keep, you want to keep the dogs away from the River X because they keep chasing the birds. Sure. There's also inside four pictures about the flooding and what the Environment Agency are going to be doing. So if you really want to know what they're doing, it's there on that.
Is that the Express?
Express.
So that was circulated.
That was on email.
That was circulated by soft copy with the bulletin last week, I think.
Yeah. And there's quite a lot of interesting articles in there, all about the river and around the edges.
Right, councillors, thank you very much for your attention.